Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you understand our lives completely. You know what challenges we face, what issues are for up in the uppermost of our minds, what those we know and are concerned for are going through. We pray that as we come to your word this morning, you might strengthen us. You might give us a clearer vision of yourself and equip us to know and serve you. So please teach us from your word, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, the sporting world, and it seems the world in general, has spent the last 4 and a bit weeks focusing on the events in Brazil with a once-in-4-year Football World Cup. Now, of course, England were knocked out at the first hurdle, and then dramatically the hosts last Tuesday evening losing 7-1. And this evening, everyone's eagerly awaiting the final between Germany and Argentina. Well, one of the surprise packages of this year's World Cup has been Costa Rica, the Central American country with a population 1 million fewer than the West Midlands, no standing army, and few expectations of football success, but who managed nonetheless to get to the quarterfinals and very nearly got further. Well, one of the Costa Rican star players has been Joel Campbell. During the World Cup, it emerged that before every match, the 22-year-old striker will pause, take a breath, and then begin whispering to himself, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, you might just recognize those words. They come straight from our Bible reading in Psalm 27. The footballer, like millions of believers before him, has taken these 3,000-year-old words of King David and found in them great strength and inspiration for help in life. Well, do turn to Psalm 27 in the Church Bibles. It's page 531. Psalm 27. And we encounter this next psalm in our series that we've entitled Cries from the Heart. Well, sometimes the psalms have a title which shows us the specific occasion that the song or poem was written into. Now, this one doesn't, though it does tell us it was written by David. But we can tell that David was facing significant challenges, especially opposition from those around him. He speaks in verse 2 of evildoers, those who assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries, my foes. It seemed that he faced the real threat of an army attacking him and his people, and of facing war. And then later in verse 10, David laments difficulties in his family relationships. "My father and my mother have forsaken me," he says. And then in verse 12, there are false witnesses who misrepresent and seriously threaten him. Now, from time to time, as contemporary believers, we may face opposition from other human beings. We may feel that people in some way are against us. It may seem like some are seeking harm, perhaps in our relationships at work or in the neighbourhood. We may feel that our family is against us in some way, or that people are misrepresenting us or treating us unfairly. Well, in such situations, the way that David prays here can be an encouragement to us. But there's another dimension that we shouldn't be unaware of where David's prayer in the face of opposition is instructive. And that is in the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. The Apostle Paul reminds Christians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In other words, we're not so much engaged in struggles that are just about other human beings. There is also a spiritual battle going on. And we have a spiritual enemy to face, the devil. And he and his forces oppose us and God's people. Now, famously, Ephesians 6 goes on to speak of the armour of God that needs to be put on so that we can stand firm. And this includes the sword of the Spirit, which the Apostle Paul tells us is the Word of God. And it includes praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So as we come to Psalm 27, and as we think of the opposition that we encounter from time to time, we find God's Word and we find the example of prayer to sustain and help us. Well, the first thing to notice then is that when we're opposed, remember who God is to the believer. Remember who God is to the believer. Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago our morning prayers here on Wednesdays, we meet here at 9 o'clock. And one of our regulars often reminds the rest of us when we read the Bible readings that it has been said that there are in the Bible 365 occasions where God says to his people, "Do not fear." Of course, 365 shows that there's one for every day of the year. Now, I haven't counted them myself to check, but it is quite clear that there are a lot of times when God says, "Do not fear." And I take it that is there because God knows that we as his people are prone to fear. Despite all the threats and opposition that David faced, he begins his poem, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" Of course, there are many things that might make people fear in life. But David realizes that because he belongs to the Lord God of covenant faithfulness, God who is his light dispelling the darkness, God who is his salvation, his rescuer, God who is his stronghold, his place of refuge, well then he has no need to be overtaken by crippling dread or panic. David is confident rather than fearful in danger because he knows where to go for protection. Verse 5, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." David knows that God is watching over him. Nothing takes God by surprise. God is the one who guards us, who doesn't let us be tested beyond our endurance, and who provides us with stability in difficulty. Well, as we see the way that David dealt with opposition, we can see that when we're opposed, let's remember who God is for the believer. But we also see that when opposed, we can pray to this great God. Now, some of the enduring images of this year's World Cup have been the number of footballers who have been photographed with eyes closed, fingers pointing upwards, or hands clasped. It seems that the media, particularly the British media, have a sense of incredulity that anyone might actually pray in this day and age, and have been rather fascinated by it. Well, having taken great encouragement from who God is, how God is for him as a believer, David makes requests of God. He prays. So he cries out, verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire or meditate in his temple." See, David wants to enjoy being in God's presence and to continue to be so all his life. Now, for David, that involved being in the physical house of the Lord, the temple, or its earlier form, the tabernacle tent temple, which he refers to in verse 6. David wants to dwell on God's greatness, his beauty and splendor and truthfulness, and to inquire or meditate on who God is. Now, what we've seen shows that David has done much of that. He has grasped realities of God's character. Now, for us, God's presence is not restricted to a building, but is found as we dwell on his truth and in meeting together around his word with his people. Because it is his people who are the house of God indwelt by God's Spirit. And as we pray together and praise our great God together, we know his presence with us. Now, David's passion for being in God's presence is a challenge. Sometimes we can feel like we're struggling to pray at all, and certainly consistently. Well, let me offer you a simple tip if that's you. Try and pray for a short period in order to start again. It's very easy to think, I've slipped back in prayer and I'm finding it difficult to pray. Therefore, what I need to do is set aside a lot of time so that I can pray for a consistent long period of time. Well, very often that's difficult. Why not just start and aim at 5 minutes in order to get going again? Read something from the Bible to remind you of God's goodness and his mercy. Like David speaks of here in verse 4, inquiring, which could be more like meditating on the Lord and his truth and his goodness. Well, David prays with passion, and yet he also does so with great humility, recognizing his need. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said to your people, seek my face. My heart says to you, Lord, yes, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God, of my salvation. You see, David knows that he is undeserving of coming into the presence of the true and perfect and holy God. And he can only do so because God is the God of his salvation. God is the one who takes the initiative to save, to rescue his people. So David cries out for God to be gracious to him, to continue to offer him his undeserved, constant love. But David also prays, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Because of the pressure, because of the challenges, because the opposition that he faces is so great, David needs God's help. And so he asks that God would go before him and, as it were, smooth the path, that he would be able to appreciate more of God's ways, who God is, what he is like, what he has done, what he promises for the future. So David cries out to God, asking for his grace. And as we hope to appreciate more as we look at the next psalm next week, he finds that he is moved to praise God. Verse 6. And now my heart shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. See, David finds that as he dwells on who God is for him as a believer, and as he prays to God and pours out his heart to him, that actually his head is lifted up. He's encouraged. He's cheered up. Yes, his challenges haven't all disappeared. In many ways, they're still there, but he can see them now more in the light of God and his salvation. And so he thanks God and he praises God. Well, reading the Psalms over these last few weeks has been a reminder that the Psalms are not just the prayer book of God's people, as they have been for 3 millennia. The Psalms are supremely the prayer book of Jesus. Jesus prayed these very prayers. He would have known them from childhood. And he fulfilled much of what they look forward to. Reading Psalm 27 here, we can't help but think of the opposition that Jesus faced from those around him. The false witnesses who misrepresented him. Family and friends who left him forsaken. Spiritual forces that attacked him. Evildoers who finally assailed his flesh. We think also of Jesus crying out to God, his stronghold and shelter. We think of the intimacy of his prayers, seeking the face of God his Father, and the perfection of his grasp of and devotion to his Father's ways. And as we read these words, we see how Jesus has made the truths that they speak of more real, and indeed makes possible what they can only anticipate. David cries out, verse 1, "The Lord is my light, whom shall I fear?" And then we hear Jesus, as we did in that gospel reading from John, say, "I am the light of the world." David says again in verse 1, "The Lord is my salvation, whom shall I fear?" And we remember that it was said of the one born in Bethlehem that he will save his people from their sins through his death. David ends his psalm with a confidence that was better than he could have fully appreciated. Verse 13, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And we hear the words of Jesus from the last book of the Bible, Revelation 1:18. "I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell." Well, how much then can we encourage one another in the very final words of this psalm that David writes? Whatever challenges we face, whatever opposition is in front of us, we belong to one who has faced even greater challenges, who faced even more significant opposition, and yet who came out victorious and promises us, his people, victory through him. Verse 14, "Wait for the Lord," or hope in the Lord. "Be strong and let your hearts take courage." Hope in the Lord. Well, like Joel Campbell, that Costa Rican footballer, and countless others, we can find great encouragement in these ancient words from Psalm 27. When opposed, remember who God is to the believer. When opposed, pray to this great God, whose purposes are centered on his rescuing and risen Son. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are all-knowing, that nothing takes you by surprise. We thank you that you know our lives. And we thank you for who you are in your greatness. We thank you that you are our light and salvation, our stronghold, our refuge. We pray that you would give us grace to hold fast to your realities, knowing that you are holding fast to us. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we pray you'd strengthen us in it. And we thank you most of all for Jesus, who fulfills these words, the one who died to rescue us and rose again to prove it. Please watch over us and equip us, we pray, for his sake. Amen.